Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Peveray, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. Hi, Marielle.
Hi, Lou.
How's your week been?
I'm exhausted.
What, just because of a few kittens?
Yes. Yes. So for the listeners at home, last week, I, together with a colleague, found three bottle feeding kittens at one of our feeding spots. And since our most experienced bottle feeder was dealing with Panleukopenia, which is the cat version of a parvo, which is the more common name, I decided to take them home myself. So I've been feeding them every 3 to 4 hours, and I'm not getting anything done. Well, I'm hitting my important deadlines, like my paid work. It's all fine, but I kind of went bare minimum on my own goals and my writing goals.
I think that we need to include some pictures because they're so cute.
I know, they're so adorable. And I'm having a bad day because I'm covered in scratches and I'm just really tired today. So I've been a little snappy with them, but they are so adorable, and they follow me everywhere. Like when I'm making, like I have an open kitchen plan living room thingy. So I have a bench, like a crate, a dog crate, in the middle of my living room, and I put out this massive blanket, like a play blanket you put on the floor for you if you have human babies. So basically, when I start making food, I put the kettle on and I open the door so they wake up. And then I make the bottle in the kitchen. And of course, they're all squeaking around me and just, they really like sitting on my foot. Like if I walk into the bedroom to grab something and I turn around, yeah, they're becoming more confident in their walks now. So they will like just stepping behind me. But the noise they make.
I can totally see how three kittens would be very disruptive to your life though.
Yes. So first thing I did, because when I got them, it was a little tricky to figure out how old they were because they were quite big. But one of them had his eyes completely closed. So we were like, yeah, this is really tricky. So I was told you don't have to get up in the middle of the night, but don't have more than 6 hours of sleep. So that's what I did the first few days. And then I started, because I started waking up and they were not awake yet. So then I started lengthening that. So now I sleep 7 hours a night, which for some people is enough. I need 8 to function properly.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing that I'm also waking up earlier by myself. And I never actually sleep the 7 hours. Like I wake up after 6 and a half or so. So there's some internal clock or something telling me the kids need food,
and they do, to grow and become big cats.
And they are becoming so big, because last week they were able to escape the crate, so I had to sort of like find really creative ways of making sure they couldn't poke their heads through the bars. So it's weird, like they get so big so fast.
Oh, that's why you've got to treasure every moment.
Oh, you know, I've been taking lots of pictures. Yeah. So yeah, let's. I'll share some pictures for this one.
Yeah, got to.
Yeah. So my writing is my fiction writing is out the window, and I'm just, because my usual writing time, like I started doing the morning thing, and I was loving it. I'm still loving it, but right now I'm feeding, and I've realized how little stuff I can actually do on a day now. So I've decided I need to prioritize my paid work, so my editing, my coaching. And I've also realized, because I'm so tired, if I sit down, like I tried it for a few times, like just open a Scrivener in the middle of the day. And just because I'm tired, like my brain is not doing it. So it's easier for me to do little steps on my nonfiction books because it's a different part of the brain, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm just going forward with that right now, just accepting.
Do you think that the universe is trying to teach you something?
Yes. And I think for me, it would be when I make a plan, I can be very, when I'm, and I'm not sticking to it, I can really beat myself up over it and be like, so like you're such a failure and like, you're never going to make it, stuff like that. And now I'm just like, okay, so I'm not doing the whole, I finally had a rhythm and then this happened. I'm having I had a rhythm and then I chose this.
Yeah. And it'll be easier, won't it, to get back into your rhythm?
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. But I'm realizing that I made the choice to do this with them. I made the choice to take them in. And I knew that was going to have consequences and that my priorities would shift immediately. And they did. And I've just decided to flow with it.
I like that.
Yeah, it's not going that great today. But I think that's
okay as well, isn't it? To have some days better than others.
I think there was just too much stuff. Like, there were too many calls I needed to make and too many appointments on the time. And then I go, okay, so they... Like, it's you're calculating all the time.
Mm.
Like, what can I do when? And, oh, I have a meeting at, for me, it was, I had a meeting at 4:30. So I go, okay. So usually I feed them around 5. Okay, so where do I start,
like,
bringing it forward to make sure that they're not suddenly eating twice in 2 hours?
Yeah.
How's your week, Lou?
So I think... I might have had a similar week, but for different reasons. It's just, I keep thinking if I was just better organized, I'd be able to fit more things in, until I realized that actually I can't fit things in because my expectations of what I can fit in is just unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you can keep blaming yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
it was never realistic to begin with.
And holding the hope out that tomorrow will be different.
Yeah, that's like a recipe for disappointment.
Yeah. So I've done a bit of that this week. It's because I'm on holiday next week, so the day job is difficult to make sure that everything's covered. And of course, you get your crises that come in because you're off next week, they become a problem, whereas normally you would just deal with them, you know. So yes, it has been difficult. And then Lily had to go back to the vets just for, it turned out all right for the wound check. But of course, I spent ages worrying about it and debating, should I go back to the vets or not? And it's quite an expensive do. And in the end, they didn't even charge me for doing a wound check. But yeah, it was just, not a ever so positive week.
Yeah, I just really want to sort of like pass that question back to you about, like, when you said, like, like, when you have a week off, that's when something becomes a crisis.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you whether you think the universe is trying to teach you something with that.
I think the universe might be trying to teach me to let go of some things. But I'm not really willing yet to do that.
Yeah.
The things that I end up letting go of are things like yoga, you know, the self-care stuff that you really need. And like you, eating is another one.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first night that I'm not eating. And that's just because today was a bit crazy. But I'm wondering whether, so for you, it could be that it's another test whether you can let it go or whether you're, or maybe not, or even whether it's another test to check how you're going to do your priorities right now. Did you learn it yet? Did she learn? Because I've done the same thing. Like my yoga went out the window, my meditation went out the window. Because I'm just, I wake up and I feed them. And then I sit behind my computer and I do some work and then I do my email and I do another project. And then in between, I've already had another feeding. But I do the same. Like that's the stuff I gave up on. I tried yoga at some point. So I have this cutest picture of the three of them on my yoga mat. That was kind of because I rolled out the mat, I sat down on it, and they woke up. So yeah, I got a few stretches in, but that was it. I was like, okay, I'm just letting it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll send you the picture because it's really
brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I'll put that on the website.
Okay. Yeah. Shall we go to the topic?
I think we should. We both know what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and we did not switch to a lifestyle podcast all of a sudden. We're still talking about writing. But it is part. Like, for example, when I finally started, when I started doing the morning writing, all my writing guilt was gone. So the thing that came up was, you need to exercise more. So suddenly there was room for that guilt.
Yeah.
So it does shift. Like, okay, so I figured this thing out now. And now it's like, okay, so where are you going to put your exercise? Because you also need to exercise, remember? So I'm like, oh, wait, so you figure one thing out. And then the other thing is sort of like, you know, like knocking on the door for your attention. So I was like, oh, great. So now that one's. So it is all related, I would say. And it's all difficult because you need to attend to all of it.
Yes.
And we only have limited time.
Well, that's what I mean. So if I can't run with Lily, I've got to run and then walk Lily, yeah. You know, which takes twice as long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I can combine the two, I get some time back.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. And that was I like going when I feed the cats at the beach. I like walking there. And now it's getting hotter again. That's going to end very quickly. But yeah, and now with the kittens, I don't have that much time. Or I don't want to leave them alone for that long.
It's constant change, isn't it? That's the thing. And we've got to be in a position to accept that and go with it.
Yeah, and I think you become more resilient around it, right? You just bounce back. And I think that's like what you said as well, is that I have no worries. I didn't go, oh, there goes my new writing schedule out of the window. I'm such a loser. No, I went, okay, I was really enjoying that. So I'm going to aim to get back to that as soon as I can. So at least now I have something to bounce back to.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm trying to see it.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I appreciate. I know I can do it, but, you know, sometimes you get a curveball and that it's not like there's no way you can control that.
No. And you're best not fighting it.
No, I think because that is losing a lot of energy.
I think
that could be focusing elsewhere.
I sometimes do think that the universe goes, oh, you've got your cozy little life now. But what are you going to do if this happens?
Well, you know, in your comfort zone, there's no growth.
True. Right? That's true. Yeah.
So I'm always asking myself, okay, so what am I learning about myself right now? And then I try to use that. I mean, I'm not like I already said it, right? Like I'm not my best self today because today was just too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when I have my good moments, I do go like, okay, so this there's probably something to learn, or there's growth here for me. And I try to focus on that. And you know, sometimes it's not that bad to have a break from a project. So yeah. I'm also sometimes trying to see that, okay, maybe this is just a sign that I need to do, that I need to step away from it so that it can sort of, I had reached a point in my novel that there is a problem and I need to sort it. It was one of the massive sort of like glaring holes in my story that I realized when I last went through it. I realized like there were some really bad holes where I had stitched things together in a really pathetic way. So I reached one of those points that I need to start bringing up something to make the ending work.
Mm.
And literally, like, I did that on the Monday morning, and then Tuesday morning, kittens. So yeah. I'm like, okay, so maybe my brain is, that part of my brain is just taking a break. So when I get back to it, I'll have the answer.
That does sometimes happen.
Yeah, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that it's actually going to happen. But yeah, I can fight it, or I can tell myself that might happen. Now let it go.
The other thing is, to deal with those sort of issues, you do need a lot of mental energy.
Well, yeah, because I'm creeping through the manuscript right now.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the focus.
Mm.
Like, I don't even know how to have two meetings and then cook in the middle. I just skipped it because I was like, I don't know. And I had to feed them. I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
And you just know that's not good.
Yeah, yes. Mm. So I'm like, maybe it's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were going to, so to actually get us into the topic.
Mm.
So we've been talking about imposter syndrome and the different elements that we see a part of that, the different issues that come with it.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be our last episode on imposter syndrome for now, because I'm sure we'll return to the topic because I don't think it's ever going to get away fully. But now we want to talk about, okay, so what do you do when imposter, how am I going to phrase this? We wanted to end with this because we want to talk about, when do you call yourself a writer and do you call yourself a writer? Because I think for one, that is when imposter syndrome kicks in.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, something that a lot of people would love to call themselves, but imposter syndrome is preventing them.
Yes.
Because it's such a label.
Because there becomes a point where you have to embrace that identity if you're going to move forward.
Yes. So we wanted to talk about that today. How, like, have you claimed a title? How do you claim the title? And when have we claimed a title?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there's also a bit of a debate between, do you call yourself a writer or do you call yourself an author? So I would love to hear what you think about that as well, because I don't think we've ever talked about that.
No, we haven't. No.
So I'm curious. So, Lou, what do you call yourself?
Oh, it depends who I'm talking to.
Always, yes.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that I have totally embraced being an author. I was thinking about it, and it's not something that I immediately tell people. And Mark has bought me a mug for Christmas that's got my trilogy on it.
That's the best gift.
I know, it's really cool. And I was sat in a Zoom meeting drinking out of the mug, and someone said, oh, I really like your Star Wars mug. And there was this pause where I debated whether to, how I was going to say, oh, actually, I wrote these books. Do you know what I mean? It was, and I thought, I'm not sure that you have fully embraced being an author.
Well, but for you, there's also the pen name thing.
Yes, there is, yeah.
And you are trying to separate your work life from your writing life.
Yes, but I'm really clear in my mind that that is for a specific purpose.
Yeah, okay. So in this call, do you think it was because you want to separate the two, or do you think it was because...
No, it wasn't. Because it was just professionals in the call. And it's only... I don't want to advertise my PEM name because I don't want my clients necessarily to be looking up my PEM name.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So I don't mind professionals or most people knowing.
So you think the reason you didn't... So what was the reason you didn't say?
Well, I did say, but it was the pause. I did say. But it's those thoughts that go through your head before you... Yeah.
Shit.
Before you claim it.
Yeah.
And I did claim to be an author of those books.
And did you say it like that, or did you say, I wrote these books?
I said, I wrote these books.
Yeah. Because there is a difference for a lot of people, right? There is a difference for me to say, I write, I am a writer.
Yeah.
Or I am an author. There are three different ways of saying it.
Yes. I agree. So, because writing can mean you write reports, you write records, you write articles, you can write anything, but being an author is different. Yeah.
It's almost like saying, if you say I write, that can mean, oh, that's a cute little hobby you have over there. When you say I'm a writer, it's already more, this is, if not my full-time job, that is my intention. Like, I want to be able to live off my books. Or I want to be published, at least, right? And yes. I think, I don't know how you feel about that. I think author is, I am a published, for a lot of people, it means I am a published writer.
How I feel about it and how I behave towards myself are two different things.
So yes.
I feel that author means that you write books, not necessarily that you're published, but I feel that claiming the title of author means that you've got to be willing to back it up. For myself.
Do you think it's sort of like the professional term for being a writer?
Yeah, very much so. And I think that I'd still have a reluctance to fully embrace it.
I'm just wondering, it just pops in my head. I wonder whether it's the difference in a different area. The difference between saying I'm a business owner or I'm self-employed.
Yes.
It's like I own my business.
Yeah.
But saying I'm a business owner, it's a bit like, you know, it can be a bit like you can feel like you're inflating yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
But when I say I'm self-employed, it sort of, it feels much more comfortable.
Yeah, you're getting by as opposed to you're a business and doing well.
Yes, yeah. And I think the difference for me is, because you have the term like the struggling, or maybe it is a struggling author. I don't know. I don't like, for me personally, I don't like the term. I've never used the term author for myself.
You never have?
No, I use the term, I say I'm a writer.
You see, that surprises me.
But why?
Because you do so much self-reflection that I thought you would have reached the place where you were happy being an author.
But I think it depends on what the word means to you. And it doesn't necessarily
it
mean a lot to me.
it's what it means to other people as well, or what you perceive it means to other people.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. But it's really not part of my vocab, I would say.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, because, like, in, for example, the introduction to 52 Weeks of Writing, I don't think I use the word author at all. I use the word writer a lot. And, but I also use the word, like Stephen King, he's a writer to me.
He's an author.
Well, that depends, like, because it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it is the same thing. But I don't use the word author for anything, I think.
Okay.
So maybe I'm reclaiming writer.
But didn't you say that author's the professional, or perceived to be the professional?
It's perceived, I think, a lot. Because when I do my author interviews for my blog, I do have the question. Like, do you prefer the term author or writer? And you get all these, sometimes they're very, like, a lot are the same kind of idea, right? But some people are like, yeah, I don't care about this term. Or, oh, like, I've always called myself an author, even before I was published. I don't care. So it really is funny to see how people have a preference.
Yeah.
But the general gist I get is that people perceive claiming the term author means, like you said, with the backing up, it means that you have made it and you have the data to show.
Yeah.
So you're a bestseller, or you can make a living off your work. You have 30 different kind of translations of your work, like in 30 different languages, I mean. And for some people, and I don't agree with this one at all, but I have seen this come up, they say the difference is author means that you're traditionally published.
Yeah.
And that just makes me want to scream, personally.
But what's been traditionally published? As in, does that have to be? Because you can go further and say, oh, yeah, it can't be a small independent publisher. It's got to be a large... Okay.
You have to be with Simon Schuster or Penguin or...
Random Hands.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. And also, I think I know so many self-published authors who are making so much more money.
Yes, well, that's the other thing.
Very established novelists.
Yeah.
Perception,
though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
And people's understanding.
Yeah. But that's why I wanted to have the discussion, because I'm really curious. But I do think, so maybe that's why I'm not using it also for other people, is because for me, saying author means in saying the word, you build a little pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, I also don't talk about actually established writers, authors, yeah, about that. Like I said, like I would say Stephen King, he's a writer. Like for me, it's so maybe I just don't like anyone on the pedestal. Maybe I just want to get rid of the pedestal altogether.
Yeah.
This became philosophical real fast.
You see, I don't care that much about it. I don't care whether you call me an author, a writer, or whatever. But it's thinking about it makes you question your own issues, I suppose, with it, or your own feelings about it.
Yeah. But isn't it also part, isn't it also about valorization?
Yeah.
So calling yourself an author means that you've reached a certain level. It's almost as if it's like a game, right? Like, and it's just like the end boss. Is once you've defeated that one, you can call yourself an author. But, and like I said, like when I read all those interviews, I'm like, you know, it is also very personal. But I do think it has to do with how people see themselves.
Yeah.
And how comfortable they are saying, I wrote this. Hence, I am the author of this. I authored this.
So it might be important to use the word author then.
Yeah, unless we can find a way to give writer the same standing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder.
But maybe you should call yourself an author.
I'm just... No. By the way...
See, but you say that very... You're not on the fence at all about that. You're really clear about it.
Yeah, it's just not... It's just... Like I said, like, It's not a term that I use a lot, but I'm thinking now, I'm going to like linguistics. This is my philosophical background, linguistics. So I'm now thinking, for example, in Dutch, you would say he is a writer. He is the author of this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder whether it's, for me, it would be, when I introduce myself, because I don't think if somebody, let's say I do a talk somewhere and somebody says she's the author of this and this and this, I don't think I would cringe or anything.
Yeah.
But it's more,
I am a author.
No, but also like say, it's you're the author of something. There's like an object.
Yeah.
Like that's how in Dutch, how we use the phrasing. It's much less common to say he is an author. We would say he's the author of.
I am more comfortable with the term writer, but that makes me think that I've not fully embraced being an author.
But is that something? So this is because we're talking about claiming the title, right?
Mm.
Is this like I said, is this the end game? And if so, why? Why do we need to become okay with calling ourselves an author? What's wrong with? Because there is, for me, it was such a huge step from not telling anybody that I was writing.
Yeah.
To say, so what do you do? I write.
Yeah.
Like, using the verb instead of the noun made it so much easier. So for years I said I write.
Don't you get people that, and I'm thinking family here, or that kind of are a bit dismissive of that? Aren't you giving them an easy way out so that then they don't have to ask you anything more?
I'm just looking at my immediate family. I don't think they have been dismissive at all. Not in a, I mean, it's not, I don't rely on them for support anyway. And I've always been a bit of the odd one out in my family. So when they realized, because at some point I became open about it, so it's on Facebook and everything. I think they're very, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
Like I remember when some of my books, I have two Dutch translations of one of my tarot books, and they are now finally available because I went wide with them. On the Dutch platform, so the Dutch version of Amazon, basically. So I send a screenshot. And then they're like, oh, that's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's, it's not like, they don't ask me. They don't ask me, like, except for one of my aunties, who is no not even officially my auntie anymore because she and my uncle got divorced, but she's always been the supportive one.
Yeah.
So the other ones are much more, they're not dismissive. It's just, I do what I do and it's fine.
Let me tell you what Marcus's mum said to me.
Okay.
When yes. I said...
I'm guessing that your question came from somewhere.
I can't remember how it came up, whether it was that I'd spent time writing and she said, well, what have you done, you know, today? And I said, oh, I've been writing my novel. And she went, oh, as long as you enjoy it.
But that is, I think, because a lot of people don't actually end up publishing their work, right? And yeah, for a lot of people, as long as agents are not hunting you down.
Yes. Yeah. I'd already got books published at that stage.
Did she know?
Yes, she knew.
Oh, that's different then.
Yeah, she just... Yeah, it's quite interesting because Marcus was really annoyed about it. I kind of let it go, but because he's a musician as well, he has the same or similar sort of struggles.
Yes, yes. It's just, I think it's a creative struggle generally. Mm. But it's funny how it's like, oh, so she's treating it like you have this really cute hobby.
Yes, very much so.
Do you think, because I said before, like, for me, author also sounds very much like this is your thing now, as the only thing you're doing. So is there a chance that she's not taking it too seriously because it's like a side thing, quote unquote?
I don't know if it's because she doesn't, it's so far out of her experience.
Yeah, that could be the case as well.
That she doesn't know how to kind of relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I was the first person in my family to go to university and there was a lot of, so what do you do all day?
Yes.
And especially my grandmother was like, yeah, no, my grandmother just checked out. It's like, yeah, I don't, yeah, no. So would you ever tell Marcus's mother to call you an author?
Well, say, from now on, you must call me an author. No. I wouldn't engage in a conversation with her about writing unless she initiated it.
Yes, that's very smart. Well, like you said, right, depending on who you are talking to, you decide whether or not you're telling people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you first start telling the world that you are writing or are a writer? And did you also, like me, first used the verb and then gradually shifted to, yes, I'm actually a writer. I can use that. I'm very comfortable with that term now.
I'm not... I've very much treated it on a need to know basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that I've shouted from the rooftops. It's just something that I might quietly on an individual level, you know, like close friends, just mention it. And yes, very much the verb.
I just see you now in every Zoom meeting, very casually having your mug and waiting.
No, I have been tempted.
You're just like, just ask me about this. I always said that once my first big, massive fantasy novel is finally done, I'm getting the cover tattooed on my arm. Yeah, like over my shoulder, and that's going to be like, ask me about it, people.
I want it on the van. I've got a black van. I want it on the side of the van.
That's actually better than getting a tattoo, because that's going to be a long and painful process.
It's a good way of advertising.
Okay, so do you, it is, yeah. So do you ever introduce yourself as, okay, so I'm Lucinda, I do this, and I'm a writer?
No. Absolutely never. Not even at writing events.
And you're telling me I have a problem with me not being comfortable using the term author?
I never said that I didn't have one.
Okay, because I like everybody, I always introduce myself as a writer.
Yeah.
And it's the first one. Like if people say, so what do you do? I go, I'm a writer, I'm an editor, I'm a translator. Well, that one usually goes last because I do that at least. So it's usually writer, editor, writing coach, and I also translate a bit. That's usually my elevator pitch.
Yeah, that's better than what I do, which is very much on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah, no, people, it's really, if people say, so what do you do? Because when you live here and people are like, because I'm not retired and I also don't have a husband working in the oil industry. So people wonder why I'm home all the time. Yeah. And what I actually do when I'm not home, I'm saving cats. So they're like, what do you do actually? Like you're living alone in a house.
Yes, I can see.
Who's paying for that? So they're like, so what do you do?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also everywhere, of course. Like it's on my books, it's on my website, it's it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, it's not a secret, but I don't shout it from the rooftops. And maybe I should, but I kind of feel that they're not my audience. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So that's my point. It's like, I don't even think, I'm having the game reference again. I don't think it's like, it's a thing you need to pass, right? It's like a level you need to pass.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Like if you have perfectly normal reasons why you're not telling everybody, that's fine. But if you're not telling yourself, or if you're not telling people because you're embarrassed about it, or you're scared of what they're going to say, I think then it might be good if you dig a little bit about why that is.
Yeah. I don't fall into that box. I'm not embarrassed about it.
No. And so for me, I don't know how that worked for you, but from the moment I started saying I write, my career has taken off because saying it out loud to other people enabled me to say, I can't do that because I have my own deadlines.
Yeah.
And especially now I say writer, now it's even easier to say, can't do, I have to get this thing ready for launch or whatever. Yeah. And they're all like, oh, okay, we understand. But it made me prioritize it more and it made me serious about it and it made me like gear all my energy towards it.
I think the first time I had to be happy with someone else reading what I'd written before I could even entertain calling myself a writer.
How do you mean?
So when I first started writing, it wasn't a secret, but it wasn't something I wanted anyone to know because I didn't want anyone to say, oh, well, can I have a read or can I have a look?
Yeah, that is painful.
Because yeah. I wasn't ready. And then I joined a writing group. And of course, one of the first things you do is share your writing. And that was the first time I'd shared my writing.
Yeah,
and it was very good. But they were very kind.
That's good. The first time I shared my writing, because I've been a closeted writer for my entire life. And after that, I started saying to people, I write. I was just chilling with a friend, having like a cup of tea and some cookies and whatever, talking about life and stuff. And we somehow ended up admitting to each other that we were writing a novel. And we didn't know that of each other.
That's funny.
So that's when we decided, let's swap what we have. right? And then we did a long, we did that for quite a while. We met every few weeks, and then, you know, the so one meeting I send my stuff to her, whatever I had written, and then the next meeting she sent stuff to me, and then I would comment on it. But that's when I started saying I write, I am writing, and now it's an official thing that I do, and it was still existing as a hobby.
Yeah
It was not yet a job. And I think once I started making money, no, that's not true. Once I've decided I wanted to start making money with it, that's when I shift to writer.
Yeah.
Because it was my aim.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? But I still like the author thing. It's still, I don't know. It's just, maybe I'm really too chilled for that. Mm-hmm. Like I don't really like hierarchies to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't forget that I have a feminist philosophical background.
Yeah.
So I like breaking down structures.
Yeah.
So maybe the whole writer versus author thing is just a patriarchal trap.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps.
But yeah, I think it's more. So for me, I think the good thing is that I call myself a writer, but if somebody else calls me an author, I don't think I would be weird about that.
That's,
and I think that's a good one. Do you call yourself a writer? When did you start calling yourself a writer? Do you prefer writer or author? For what reasons? There's so many questions we can ask.
Yeah.
I need to go back to my squeaky monsters. It's feeding time.
You go back to the squeakers and I need to eat.
Yeah, I'll find some food somewhere as well for myself.
Okay, then. On that note, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.